This is chapter 24, if you want to follow along there. I think we all want God's best for our lives. The problem is sometimes figuring out what that is. And this is a great lesson to us today in how we can do that. I'm not going to read any scripture at the beginning. We'll read through some of the scriptures as we go along this morning. But let's begin with prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless this message to our hearts today, that each one would settle in their heart, that they would say yes to your best for their lives. And then, Lord, we would set about learning how to do that, putting into practice some principles this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me just give you the introduction here for this, and we'll get into the heart of the message, but some background information that we need to know. Abraham is a very old man. And by this time, Sarah, his wife, had died, and she was buried in a cave in Hebron. And this was the land that Abraham had bought from the Hittites. This was the land that God had promised to him. And God had promised, remember, that Sarah and his son would become the offspring of a great nation. And he's talking about Isaac, the son of promise. And God wanted his people to take wives of their people and not intermarry with the Canaanites, because he was afraid that they would begin to worship false gods. And we know that's exactly what later happened. So Isaac is now a young man, and it's time for him to have a wife. And Abraham is determined that his wife would not be chosen from among the Canaanites, not be chosen from the women of the tribes that were living nearby, because, again, they didn't worship God. They didn't worship Abraham's God. And so Abraham wanted Isaac to have a wife from among his own people who did worship God. And so he, fortunately, lived hundreds of miles away from those people. But he had a trusted servant. His name was Eleazar. And he said, I want you to swear by the Lord that you will not get a wife for Isaac from among the daughters of the Canaanites, but from my own relatives in my homeland, my own land. And that's what Eleazar swore to Abraham that he would do. Now, you put yourself in Eleazar's place this morning. You have to go to a land that you are not familiar with, and you have to pick out a wife for your master's son. That's quite the job, isn't it? I don't think I would like to be in that particular place at all. So he's going to have to learn how to get direction from God so that he doesn't make a mistake and bring the wrong woman back. But now Isaac here, he's a picture, and we talk many times about pictures and types. Isaac is a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament because they both needed a bride. And so Abraham, he becomes the picture of God. He wants to bring a bride to his son. He wants Isaac to have a bride. Now you know that the church is the bride of who? Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So Abraham takes his servant Eleazar and sends Eleazar to find a bride for Isaac. Eleazar means the helper of God, or God is my helper. Do you know that in the New Testament, another name for the Holy Spirit is helper? He is the helper of God. He is God, but he is also the helper of the Father. So Abraham represents God the Father. Isaac represents God the Son. Eleazar represents God the Holy Spirit. And Rebekah, the bride that will be brought to Isaac, who do you think she represents? The church, right? She represents the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I've preached on this from a different angle before with the romance of redemption, but I want to take this story and use it as a template to show what success is, to show us how we can be successful in areas of life. Five times in this chapter, we read the word good success, or the word Godspeed. Godspeed. Some translations give it success. The King James calls it Godspeed. But success is what we're after today. And success is saying yes to God's best. So how do we do that? First of all, if you want success, you must seek direction. If you want to be successful, you have to seek direction. Look in verses 1 through 4 there. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Now, Eliezer receives a commission from Abraham. It's a commission from his Lord. It's clear that there has to be some spiritual direction here. Now, at this time, Eliezer has a goal: find a wife. Convince her to come back. That's going to be something. And get these two safely married together. Now, I trust that you have goals in life and that you will get a direction from God and how to fulfill those goals for your life and how you can serve Him. Now, in order for it to be a goal, it has to be something specific. I mean, it has to be something that you can focus on, something that you can nail down. This is something that you want. No ifs, ands, buts, or doubts about it. Eliezer knew specifically what he has to do. His goal is to seek a bride for Isaac. Now again, every person in this congregation needs goals, but you also need spiritual goals. You need to hear from God. What does God want you to do? Yogi Berra, that philosopher and theologian, said, "You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might get there." Let me read that again. I know his philosophies sometimes are hard to sink in. You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might get there. In other words, beware of vague goals. If you have a vague goal, you're probably not going to do much in life. And so you have to have some goals, some specific goals that are laid out. Don't be like a ship without a rudder, without a chart, or without a compass on a dark and stormy night. And if you want to succeed in life, then you have to have a plan. And if you don't plan, then plan on failing. Now, let me make it simple. One of my goals is to be a godly pastor. But that's not all. Another one of my goals is to be a godly husband. And a third goal that I have is to be a godly father. You see, you have to have goals. They have to be specific goals. But they have to be balanced, right? I can't spend all my time being a godly pastor, because then I would neglect the other goals. I can't spend all my time being a godly husband. I'd neglect my other goals. So your goals in life have to be specific, but they have to be balanced. All right? The second thing is, if you want to be successful, you must use spiritual discernment. Don't be slap happy about this. You know, ask yourself some questions. Questions like, where am I now in life? Okay? If I want to be a godly husband, I think, what kind of husband am I now in my life? Make an honest evaluation and step back and evaluate. Now, if somebody were to call you today and say, "Hey, we just got into town. We want to stop by and see you. You know, we've never been in this part of the country before, so see, tell us how to get to your house." I know what you would say. You would ask them a question. You would say, "Where are you now?" Right? You'd want to know where they are now so that you could give them direction to get to your life. Sometimes we need to stop back in life and we have to say, "Where are we now?" And evaluate. You need to know where you are now so you can be guided to where you want to be. It was easy for Eliezer to figure out where he was at this particular time. He's really starting out fresh. There's no wife for Isaac. And time is running out, and he had to evaluate the situation. So make a serious discernment. Start where you are. Be honest about where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. Make a serious discernment. Number three, if you want to be successful, you must exercise steadfast dependence. Let's look at verses 5-7. And the servant said unto him, that is Eliezer, said to Abraham, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou comest? That is, he said, look, if she won't come with me, can I take Isaac to her? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. What's he doing? He's depending on the Lord. That's what he's doing. He's saying, first he says, well, what if this doesn't work? Abraham said, look, it's going to work. God is going to work this whole thing out. God is going to see you through. God is going to make sure that your mission is successful. It's very clear that Eliezer has a word from God. Abraham says, look, God swore to me this thing. God made me a promise. I have the word of God in this matter. God's promises cannot fail. Now, if you're going to be successful, your success has to be measured, has to be rooted in the Bible, or it's not true success. You have to get a word from God. Now, the Bible is not going to, you're not going to be able to open up the Bible, for instance, and have the Bible say, move to Cleveland. Well, nobody would want to move there anyway, but, you know, move to such and such a place. The Bible's not going to tell you that. But as you submit yourself to God, there are plenty of general rules that are still biblical rules that God will guide you with. I just love what God said to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, you probably remember, we preached on this earlier in the year. But God says to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Now listen. And then thou shalt have good success. That's it. Their success is based on the word of God. We need to be in the word of God. We need to be meditating on God's word. And God directs us then through his word. Saturate your mind. Marinate your Bible into your very being. You fortify this discernment and this desire and this dependence through the word of God, first of all, and then through prayer. I know this isn't that difficult. I know this is kind of simple, but sometimes we need to be reminded of these simple things. You see, if you have this direction, or you feel, you sense a direction, then you need to pray about it. Look at verse 12 there in Genesis 24, and he said, that is Eliezer said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed, send me success this day. God, I pray for success. And show kindness unto my master, Abraham. Now let me tell you about your goals. Your prayer reveals your desire. What are the things that you are praying about? Those things that you pray about show where your desires are. How often do you pray about your goals? There is nothing wrong with saying, God, make me successful. There is nothing wrong with saying, God, make me a successful father. God, make me a godly husband, a godly wife. You know what? If you don't pray about something, you know what you're really saying? You're really saying, God, this isn't really that important. Or God, I don't think you're going to help me in this area anyway. See, prayer reveals where your desires are, what you really desire. Prayer also reveals your dependence. It shows that you are depending upon God. Now, sometimes God doesn't answer right away. And did God ever do that with you? You know why he doesn't give it to you right away? Because God wants to see how important that is to you. And God wants to see if you are really depending on Him. And then the third thing is about prayer is that it reveals your devotion. Why did Eliezer want success? Not for his sake. He says it very clearly, for my master's sake. In church, when we pray, we ought to pray in the will of God for the glory of God. God, you be glorified in this. And so you cultivate this strong dependence. The fourth thing, if you want success, you must cultivate strong desires. You look in verse 7. The Lord God of Abraham, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, that thou swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now, where did this desire come from? And we have to ask ourselves, why do I want this thing? Why do I have this desire? Why do I want this goal accomplished in my life? What is the reward? What's the payback? Now you might say, well, I don't believe in serving God for rewards. I do. You know why I do? Because it's biblical. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I want rewards. I want to go to the judgment seat of Christ, and I want to receive crowns and rewards, because then I know that I've glorified God through my life. Some people think, well, am I just bribing God then? No, a bribe is an inducement to do evil. A reward is a recognition for doing good. Do you know that you are going to, when you get to heaven, taken before the judgment seat of Christ? Yeah, I think it might be a little frightening thing as we see the Lord in all of his majesty. And at that judgment seat, we will receive the rewards of things that we have done in the body. We will also see the potential for rewards that we could have had that we lost. And I don't want to see those things. But I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want a soul winner's crown. I want a crown that means I brought people to Christ. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do there, but I have a feeling that most of us, when we receive those rewards and those crowns, instead of putting it on our head, will simply want to give them back and say, Lord, I am unworthy. But I want to have something to give him. There's an old hymn that we used to sing, Must I Go and Empty-Handed Be? And you remember that song? I don't want to go before the throne of Christ and be empty-handed. I want to have something that I can give him, something that I could that can offer him. This doesn't mean that my motivation is carnal. Your motivation could simply be to glorify God. This really is where our motivation should come from. And when we motivate God, you know what happens to us? We get joy. That's where our joy comes from. Eliezer is going to find joy in accomplishing this goal and bringing back a bride for Isaac. So here's what Eliezer is saying. Now look, why do I want this? Well, number one, my master will be pleased. Number two, there will be a bride for Isaac. And number three, there will be joy for me when God is glorified. Now, if you settle the why, God will show you the how. If you settle the question, why I want these goals, why I want these things, then God will settle the how it will be done. When you say, oh God, I want this for your glory, then God is able to, will enable you to do what you do and cultivate this strong desire. And the only way that you can cultivate a strong spiritual desire is to have that God-given direction, because you've soaked yourself in his word. The fifth thing, if you want success, you must establish specific direction. It's not enough just to have a generality. You need to begin to make plans. How can I do this? What are some practical steps? That's what Eliezer did. Look in verses 10 through 14. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without or outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed. That is success. Let me say it. Good speed, you say success. Good speed. Okay. Good seed, speed, success. This day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now notice again, he wanted it for Abraham, not for himself. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Does he get specific here or what? He does. Yes, thank you. He's talking about camels kneeling down. He's talking about a girl coming up and saying, you know, have a drink of water. I'll give your camels water at the same time. And he says, God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you that the girl that does this, she'll be the one. If this is the right plan, God, I want to really know. Now, what prompted him to say that and come up with this plan? I don't know. But the important thing is, he had a plan. And again, if you establish a specific direction, then God comes and honors that direction. Now, this man had some difficulty, you think about it. He's going to meet a girl that he didn't know before, tell her about a man she never met, and ask her to trust him and go back with him to marry that man. So he had problems, but he had a plan. And maybe you're here today and you have a problem. You ever have any problems? You know, and sometimes your problems constitute your job. If there were no problems for you to solve, you wouldn't have a job. And if it was an easy problem to be solved, they'd hire somebody else to solve those problems at a whole lot less money. Now, I know you're underpaid. I know that. You know, when I started out in ministry, I thought, you know, I'll go through this learning curve. I'll learn all about the problems of ministry. I'll get those problems behind me, and then I can just start ministry. I discovered that problems are my ministry. Here's a man, he had some problems to face. But what he did, he established a specific direction. He established a plan, and he put that plan into practice. Now, I heard about a man who stopped a pretty girl along the road. He was going to the county fair. He had a basket in one hand, and he had a pig under his arm, and he had a chicken in the other hand. He stopped this pretty girl and said, can you tell me how to get to the county fair? She said, yes, if you go down this road 1/2 mile and turn left 1/2 mile at the next road, you'll come to the county fair. He said, couldn't I just cut through the woods and make it shorter? She said, yes, you could, but you might get lost. He said, well, could you go with me and show me the way? And she said, oh, no. He said, well, why not? She said, you might get me out there in the middle of the woods and try to kiss me. And he said, how could I do that with a chicken in one hand and a basket in the other hand and a pig under my arm? How could I do that? She said, well, you could put the chicken on the ground and you could put the basket over the chicken and I could hold that silly old pig. See, there's a way. She had a plan on how she could get a kiss out of this guy yet. She had a creative plan. Now, the Bible is not against planning. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. He says, well, where do I begin? Just begin. Just begin. Just come up with some kind of plan. And write it down if you need to. And the thing is that Rebecca eventually came. And she became the answer to all those prayers. And here's what Eliezer said. If you look down there in verse 21, and the man wondering at her held his peace. That is, Eliezer is looking up at her and doesn't say anything, to wit whether the Lord hath made his journey prosperous or not. He's saying, Lord, is this your way? But you see, he's moving. He's doing something. You know, it's hard to steer a ship that's not moving. And if you're waiting till you have everything buttoned down, you're not going to be successful in life. As you make plans and as you start out and begin to work on those things, God gives direction. God brings blessing. God gives success. You're going along and you say, this seems good to me. This seems good to me. I've been praying. God, I've been in your word. The Holy Spirit speaks. God, I believe this is your voice. But God, if I'm headed in the wrong way, then Lord, I want you to stop me and I want you to guide me. You know, this is what the Apostle Paul did. He made plans. And he began to act on those plans and he began to go out. And at times, God would bless those plans and God would let him go. But you know what? When Paul was ready to do something God didn't want him to do, God stopped him. And I trust that is the way it is in life. So many times we just make the will of God such an elusive thing, something so hard to figure out. I really believe that if we are in a relationship with God, we are in prayer, we're in the Word, we're in tune with the Spirit, God leads us as we're moving. We don't sit around and wait for God to tell us something. We begin to move, and God directs us as we go. He steers our ship. And if we're about to make a mistake, God will stop us. He'll throw up some flags. Number 6. I've got 7 points in case you're wondering. If you want success, you must practice strong discipline. I'm preaching to myself right now, okay? First of all, he disciplined his decisions. I just read the scripture, he held his peace, to wit, to understand whether or not the Lord hath made his journey prosperous or not. He didn't jump to a conclusion. Look in verse 49. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me. He's talking to Rebekah's parents. That I may turn again to the right hand or to the left. He's not headstrong. He's saying, God, is this your will? Lord, show me. Should I go this way or should I turn that way? He disciplines his decisions, doesn't jump to conclusions. Second thing he does is he disciplines his appetite. When he gets there to her family, they want him to eat. But notice verse 33, there was set food before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. To him, success was more important than eating. So he disciplined his decisions. He disciplined his appetite. He disciplined his time also. Verse 56. And Eliezer said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. They wanted him to stay. He said, no, I don't have time for that. Don't hinder me. Don't let things slow you down when you are serving the Lord. And then the fourth thing that he disciplined was his resources. You look again in verse 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Now Abraham had given him gifts, but he knew that those gifts were not for himself. They had come from his master. They were used to bringing a bride to Isaac. Couple things here. First of all, God has given you spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that God has given you are not mainly for yourself. They are gifts to profit the body of Christ. They are gifts to bring people to the place where they become part of the bride of Christ. They become a place of the church. You are rich today in spiritual gifts. God has loaded you up. And this man disciplined those resources, though. And we need to be disciplined with the things that God has given us. There's one other thing here that I want to mention. I mentioned this when I preached upon this before, but I just love this. Remember, Eliezer is a type of God, the Holy Spirit. God gives the Holy Spirit to the Christian as we live this life, as we're on this journey, this pilgrim journey, as we're on our way to heaven. God sends the Holy Spirit with us on this journey. Can you picture Rebecca? I mean, I want you to think about what this girl must have thought about as she's being ripped from her parents and everything that she knew. And she's being taken to a completely foreign and strange land where she didn't know anybody. And she's going to have to marry a guy that she doesn't know anything about. But I'm sure that Eliezer was telling her how great Isaac was. All along the way, Eliezer would say, just wait till you meet Isaac. He's such a godly young man. I know that he's going to love you. He's going to take well care of you. You're going to be so blessed. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit does for us as we're in this life, on this journey, as we're going to heaven? Even though we have not seen our heavenly groom, we've not seen Jesus, but not with our literal eyes. But the Holy Spirit says, just wait till you see Jesus. Oh, you're going to be completely floored. Oh, let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. You know, he's busy building a mansion for you when you get there. All things are going to be ready when you get to heaven. He loves you so much. He can't wait for your arrival. And I can just picture Rebecca as they're on this journey. She would begin to have doubts, I'm sure. And maybe as she thought about leaving father and mother and everything behind, that little lip would begin to quiver. And she might be on the verge of shedding a tear. And Eliezer would know that. And he would take out one of those precious jewels, maybe a ruby, and said, here, Isaac sent this for you. He wants you to have it. And then maybe they'd go on a little further and a tear would escape and begin to go down her cheek. And Eliezer would notice that. And he would say, here, I have a diamond. I have a diamond. Isaac would want you to have that. Oh, let me tell you how much Isaac loves you. Let me tell you how much Isaac is waiting for you to come. And he would cheer her up all along the journey. And church, that's what the Holy Spirit does for me. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. Let's face it, there are times in life when our lip might begin to quiver. And there might be a tear that would go down our cheek. And we're not just quite sure about this Christian life. We're not just quite sure about the life that we have to live. Maybe some problems have come. Maybe some difficulties have arisen. And it's at those times that we need to be in the Word of God, that we need to be in prayer, that we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit in those times comes and He encourages our heart and He says, look, I have a gift for you. This is what Jesus has for you. He has peace. He has comfort. Let me tell you about Jesus. He loves you so much. And I want you to know that you can make it on this journey, because when you finally get there, your heavenly bridegroom is going to welcome you with open arms. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit makes our life successful. And if you are not being successful, you need to ask yourself, where do I need to grow? Somebody has well said, if your professional life outpaces your personal life, you will have stress. In other words, you need to balance those things. You need to balance your personal life with your professional life. Let me rephrase that also to say, if your personal life is behind your spiritual life, you're going to have stress. In other words, your spiritual life should be out front. Your spiritual life should be leading the way. Because if your spiritual life is not, instead of success, you're going to have stress in life. One final point. If you want success, you must express serious devotion. If God is blessing you, give thanks. When you begin to take the praise, then God will stop using you. And look at verses 49 through 52. Now here's what Eliezer says to his parents and to her brothers. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, that is with Abraham, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's wife's son. Thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself down to the earth. When your life is all summed up, and when this particular event or goal is fulfilled and matured, then it's time to worship God. Can you express serious devotion? What a joy it is for us to praise God. Very quickly, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 3? Verses 5 and 6. This is a very familiar couple of verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isn't that exactly what happened to Eliezer? He will direct your paths. Literally means he will make your path straight, or you will be successful in all your ways. Acknowledge him. He will make you successful. He will make your path straight. It's the very same idea that was given about John the Baptist, that when he came, his way would be made straight. Every mountain would come down. Every valley would be filled up. Every crooked thing would be made straight. Here's the picture of that. The picture is of a bulldozer coming down the way. This bulldozer levels out every mountain. This bulldozer fills in every valley. And this bulldozer takes out every obstacle to make the way straight. That's what God will do for you. If you acknowledge him, he'll send the bulldozers of heaven to knock out every mountain, to fill every valley, to remove every obstacle so that you can be successful. One other way I want to illustrate. Anybody here ever played football? Any football players here? Come on up here if you ever played football. Any wannabe football players here? You want to be a football player? Come on up here. You sure you played football? All right. What's your name? What's her name?
Jersey.
Jersey, okay, Jersey. Gustavo, you're a good sport. Would you come up here? I never played I played flag football. That was it. Josh was playing flag football. I was watching him a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that is one of the greatest feelings in the world, if you're playing football, is when you got the ball and you look downfield and you got all kinds of people blocking for you. And you know they're going to block for you and you're going to score a touchdown because there's no way that you can't. You got enough blockers, you got more blockers out there than opponents. And you know that they're going to clear the way. You could be the smallest person here. You could be Jersey. Here's a football, okay? Pretend you got a football. You guys are all blockers. Now, just go ahead and surround Gustavo. What chance does Gustavo have to stop this little girl from running for a touchdown? He doesn't have a chance at all because those blockers are just going to take care of that. And when you're going through life and you're running for the end zone, when you're running for Jesus, remember Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. As you run, God sends all of his blockers out ahead of you to make the way straight. That's what it's talking about, to make the way straight. So that you can score the touchdowns in life. So that you can be prosperous. So that you can have good success. This is what God does for you, church. If you acknowledge him in all of your ways, he will direct your paths. He will make them straight. He will knock down every mountain, fill every valley, take out every obstacle. He'll clear the path on the football field, so to speak, so that you can run without hindrance. You'll be able to look up and say, God has sent his angels ahead of me, just like he did with Eliezer. God sent his angels ahead of me because he is guaranteeing my success. You want God's best? You want to be successful in life? Then acknowledge God in all of your ways. Put your faith, put your trust in him. He will make your path straight. One of the great promises in all of Scripture. Thanks. Let's give them a hand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. What do you want to be? What are your goals in life? You've got to set some goals. What do you want to be in life? And then just begin to follow. I hope you took notes this morning. There's some very practical things, I think, to put these things into your life. But after you decide what your goals are, just come up with a plan. God, this is how I can be a better father. This is how I can be a better husband. This is how I could be a better son or daughter. And begin to have a plan and work on those things and begin to work toward them. And God will see to your success. You'll be amazed. You'll see God taking down mountains. This was a big mountain in our marriage before. It was a problem. But boy, you know what? I just started following God. I just started working on it. And God has come and God is with the bulldozers of heaven have taken that mountain. This thing over here, this was such a valley in our relationship before. But you know, I just started doing what I believe God wanted me to do. And God began to fill that valley. You know, we're walking now on level ground. You know, this thing over here was such an obstacle in our marriage before. But God has sent the bulldozer of heaven and he's cleared those obstacles and he's made the way straight. Again, you can have success if you want it. Would you say yes to God's best? Would you say yes to God's best? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. And just by a raised hand, would you say, God, I'm saying yes to your best. God, I'm going to work on these things. I'm going to have some goals and I'm going to have some plans. And God, would you honor them? Could God see your hand up and then down this morning? Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you today that you will move literally heaven and earth to guarantee our success. I pray today, Lord, that it's not just be a message that we tuck away, but it'd be a message that we could practically use. Lord, today I also ask that you would bless now our fellowship and the food that has been provided for us. Thank you for each one here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And now may you go Godspeed. Which means what?
With success.
With success. You're dismissed.